Is the music over? I was just reading an email here from LaShonda in Austin, Texas, while you were playing the opening music there, Kathy. I'm sorry. She writes, "Hey, Mike and Kathy, tomorrow's a big day in D.C. Please remind everyone again about not bringing signs that are totally unrelated to the issue at hand. I hope that people will show up in the millions and represent those of us that can't be there. Long live freedom of assembly." Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Yes, tomorrow is the day, and amazingly, I think I heard on three different networks that this event was to occur, this anti-war demonstration. On CNN, ABC, and NBC, all mentioned tomorrow's demonstration, although they were still not factually correct. They said it's in Washington, D.C. It's going to be all over the country. A huge one in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, Portland, Atlanta, Detroit, Washington, D.C., New York, Miami. We'll see what happens. This has been a very bizarre week. It really has. The State of the Union, Cheney's near assault on Wolf Blitzer on CNN, the Senate debate on a non-binding resolution to stop Bush's increased inclination to murder and mayhem. The Petraeus Senate hearings, during which we discovered Bush's plan includes up to 40,000 private mercenaries like Blackwater to supplement our troops. That's bad enough. Then the kidnapping and execution, now it turns out, of four of our troops. Five were killed, four were taken away and executed by armed insurgents posing as American troops and fooling the American guards, the Iraqi guards. It's getting worse and worse in Iraq, and Bush still maintains he's the decider and his is the plan for success. You know, just before showtime, an email from our senior correspondent, and he raises an interesting point here. Where is that email? About the troops that died. These particular five. We've seen the video representations of this on all over television. These SUVs that pull up, they're waved through a checkpoint. They look like Americans. They talk like Americans. They are dressed like Americans. They are equipped like Americans. 9 to 12 people posing as an American security team. They traveled in black GMC Suburban vehicles, the type used by U.S. government convoys, had American weapons, wore new U.S. military combat fatigues, and spoke English. Now, in a written statement, the U.S. command originally reported that five soldiers were killed, quote, while repelling the attack. The attack was, they went into a compound where security measures were being discussed between American and Iraqi forces about how to protect people for an upcoming religious celebration in Karbala. I believe it was Karbala. But the U.S. military lied again, like they did in the Pat Tillman case, like in the Jessica, what was her name, Kathy? Jessica Lynch case. U.S. officials said they could not be sure where the soldiers really were shot after being captured at the compound. Two of them were handcuffed together. The four that were executed were executed. They were shot in the head. This is incredible stuff. So Chris, my senior correspondent, says the question I have is this. If it looks like an American and drives like an American and talks like an American, what's to say this hit squad of 9 to 12 so-called insurgents weren't actually American? Detailed to take out a group of soldiers that had seen something they weren't supposed to. Because as I just shared with you, the assault 50 miles south of Baghdad was conducted by 9 to 12 militants posing as an American security team. Now, this is not to say that these people were posing as American soldiers. Or that they were necessarily American soldiers. Yes, they probably were posing. But who's to say it wasn't a team from Blackwater? Who's to say it wasn't a team from one of these private contractors that, if at the very least, trying to gin up the hatred so that we'll send, so Bush has an easier way. Bush doesn't care about human life. Neither does Cheney. None of these people, nor it appears does Gates, none of these people care about human life. Certainly, Rumsfeld didn't. It just matters not to them. Whether it's Iraqi or Israeli or Palestinian or American, it doesn't make any difference. Cheney and Rumsfeld have said stuff happens. And when did Negroponte become Deputy Secretary of State? This has his stink all over it. These people don't care about human life, and it doesn't make any difference if these people being the Bush crime family, if they can get mileage out of dead Israelis, they'll get it. If they can get it out of dead Lebanese or dead Hezbollah or dead children or dead Iranians or dead Iraqis or dead Americans, they'll do it. They don't care. The human life is collateral. It's incidental. It's ciphers. Colons, semicolons, commas. It means nothing to these people. And you've heard their press secretaries say, these are just numbers. They don't mean anything. Christ. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow, and we'll also see what happens as these hearings keep going. If there is any such thing as karma or fortune or even a god or gods, plural, small g, big g, goddesses, spirits, whatever, karma, I don't care what you call it, if there is balance or justice in the universe, then Cheney and Bush and Rumsfeld and the rest of these people will feel that balance, will feel that justice. Right? Molly Ivins is in the hospital. This is her ongoing battle with breast cancer. This does not look good. Her spokeswoman said Molly Ivins may be able to go home Monday coming. Her spokeswoman, Betsy Moon, said that's the day the doctor said. We're not sure what's going to happen, but she's very sick. This is her third bout with cancer, breast cancer. The initial diagnosis was in 1999, reoccurrences in 2003 and 2005. Ivins said last year she isn't giving in. She said in a column in the Austin American Statesman, quote, maybe this is false bravado. In some ways for me, this is like having a manageable disease. It's like diabetes. It doesn't mean, though, that it's not going to come and get me in the end. I got two emails back to back today, one from Claudia in Kentucky. And one from Marie, and the astonishing thing to me, these two emails came in 2 minutes apart today, 2 minutes apart. The time signatures on them here, one came in at 11:19, the other one came in at 11:17 today. Or what's the date today, Kathy? Last night. They both came in last night. 2 minutes apart. And I want to share them with the share them with you when I come back, because it both have something important to say. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.
For people to listen. Therefore, I'm a person who does a lot of my work in private.
It's 21 past the hour. There's a website out where you can sign a petition to draft Al Gore. It's draftgore.com. And there's only 21,000 signatures there so far. I signed it. You might want to. Hell, I got 20,000 signatures just to get rehired at Air America.
You should run for president.
No. Yeah, right. So come on, y'all. Anybody think that's a good idea? Don't email me and tell me it's good or bad. Just go to draftgore.com and sign the petition. Here are these two emails. First one from Claudia in Kentucky. Mike, I contacted you a while back about my son Chris in the Air Force, and you asked the rhetorical question of how anyone with skin in the game can maintain sanity until this insane war ends. Well, I'll let you know, as I just talked to him 2 hours ago. He's all excited, and I'm just numb. I feel as though my life's work is just being trashed. If frustration can save our children, I'm sure they'd already be home, but since I know of nothing else that can help, I've begun praying to a God I'm not even sure I believe in. Have I told you how much I hate these people? Hell no, because there are no words to convey this mother's fear and loathing for the people who have trashed our kids' lives for what? What she found out was that her son is being deployed to Iraq. And this is from Marie. And like I said, these came 2 minutes apart last night. Astonishing. Marie writes, it's been very difficult for me to talk about until now, but I heard earlier in the day that Woburn, Massachusetts has suffered its first military casualty in Iraq, and as it turns out, it's someone I know, and I am devastated. I got a call about 4 p.m. today telling me that a young man, who I learned later is the brother of one of my students, had been killed in action in Iraq, and that his family had just been notified. At first, I thought it was my student, i.e., my surrogate son. That was the victim, and because I was so up, I couldn't stop. And because of that, I became so upset I couldn't stop crying. After a call to the local veterans office, I learned that it was his older brother. So I called his mom and offered my condolences. It was the single hardest thing I've ever done in my life. She said she was holding on okay, but wanted me to speak to her other son, my former student, and someone I truly care about, because he was so upset about his brother, he was planning on joining up to avenge his death. His mother asked me to speak to him and tried to deter him from signing up. I don't know if you remember, but this is the same young man that I mentioned in one of my earlier emails who was being pursued by the military to join up and had called me to ask that I write him a letter of recommendation. When I first heard that someone of the same name and address had been killed in action in Iraq, I thought it was him, and was so devastated that I may have played a part in his being there that I was hysterical. In any case, his mom put him on the phone, and I told him that he needed to be brave in supporting his mom, and that meant not signing up to the military. I then told him that I thought of him as one of my own, and that if he needed anything, to call me. Up to that point, he was very brave, but he then began to fill up with tears and promised to call me or come by soon to talk. This war is so personal to me now that I'm going to do all I can to see that we bring our troops home. There's no need for any of this, and it needs to stop now. Please remember Specialist First Class Keith Sullivan in your prayers. Signed, Marie. There's just too much of this happening. This is and Bush and Cheney and the rest of these people just seem to be floating in a teacup, in some sort of a pool of blood, just floating above it, like they don't care. It doesn't. Apparently, it matters not. How much? What happens? How many people die? How many Iraqis? Speaking of the Iraqis, this is from a listener. Hi, Mike. Remember the pregnant Iraqi woman who was in delivery, being rushed to a hospital to give birth? Her brother was driving her there in his car. The army opened fire on the car, killing them all. I remember the news blip soon after and the mention that the troops had, quote, the go-ahead, unquote, to fully open fire on any car driving too fast, as it, quote, probably has explosives coming at them, end quote. That is the fallback excuse for any mistake that may happen, resulting in any car being opened fire on driving along any road. As in, hey, man, that car was really booking it. I mean, what were we to do? Yes, we shot 500 rounds and killed them all. Later to find out it was a simple family on the way to the store. Impeach these blanks is what I say. I'm torn, shattered and tossed and worn. Shocking to see. Too shocking to see. Now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight, and I haven't got a lot of time.
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
Mother, do you think she's good enough? 26 before the hour. Email from Ismailia, who says, hi, I live in Miami and experienced firsthand some of the debacle of the election process. The 2000 election is still fresh in my mind. Al Gore allowed the theft to take place, the same as John Kerry did. He may be great with green, but what would he do if the same thing were to happen again? That's a fair question. And my answer to that, I think Al Gore has had a real 6-year long or 7-year long epiphany of a lot of things, not the least of which is that politics ain't beanbag. You don't play nice with these rotten bastard Republicans. You destroy them. Whatever way you can, politically, economically, socially, they are intent on destroying the country. So if you are interested in the country, you must stop them. And I think Al Gore's learned that. I don't think if it were close again, I think Al Gore, and I don't think it would be close. I think this would be kind of a reverse of Nixon McGovern in 72. I really do. All of a sudden, I'm starting to think that that Al Gore might be the Democratic, because, you know, a lot of people ask me, I'm sure they ask you, well, who are you going to vote for? Who do you think would make a good? Nobody is better trained than Al Gore. No, not Hillary. And as far as Barack Obama, maybe in 2024 or somewhere down the road, okay, you could be Dennis Kucinich's first vice president. Well, you know. But not now. Sorry, Barack. You're attractive and mesmerizing and have a lot of chutzpah, but no, 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 no.
Sure would put Clinton in kind of an awkward position.
Which Clinton?
Bill.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? It would come to think of it. Do I support my wife or my vice president? Amy in Portland, who's listening on the internet, not too much longer, Amy. I think Portland, I think at KPLJ, I think they're going to, I don't know what the hell they're waiting for, but we keep hearing that KPLJ is trying to come to some sort of terms with Nova M Radio Network. But right now, Amy is listening in Portland on the internet. And she writes, Mike, how old are those men in Washington? She's referring to the Bush crime family. Just a couple of weeks ago, Bush told us he wanted another chance of getting it right in Iraq. He wants to try again what he failed before. He wants a do-over. There are no do-overs for adults. I sort of messed up the last 5 years of my life. Can I have a do-over? Not likely. And in the ultimate kindergarten blame game, where everyone points fingers at the other kids saying, it's not my fault, comes Scooter Libby's trial. And what do we learn today? First, a woman, Kathy Martin, who is the director of communications for the vice president, tells us that Scooter instructed her to call the CIA and ask who is Joe Wilson and who sent him. She was told who and what and also who his wife was in the CIA. Next, we learn that the CIA liaison to the VP's office tells them not to out Valerie Plame as it will harm their agents and activities in the field. After they out her, Stephen Hadley goes to the vice president, Scooter Libby, mad, blaming the woman director of communications for the outing. What is big, brave Scooter to do? Hang his head and look at the floor, letting a girl take the blame for his actions? They're all such cowards. Who is running the asylum? By their actions, I would say kindergartners, but that would be disparaging to kindergartners who are taught to share and play nice with others and take a nap every day. Seriously, Mike, why does Bush and company need American troops to remain in Iraq? What cover are they providing? What are they and their pals up to? 5 years is way past Bush's attention span.
Bush is the only one that naps in that administration, but every time I think about the Scooter Libby trial, I have to think about this soundbite from Bush from the first days of his presidency.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Yeah, okay. We'll do Bush in a minute. Let's do these other two. Kathy? Simon in the UK wrote, I thought Ted Kennedy was going to have a stroke. Worth remembering, this is the same bunch of filth that spent all summer back in 05 demanding an up or down vote and threatening the nuclear option. He's referring there, of course, to the Republicans. And now they essentially filibuster what is really a small increase in the U.S. minimum wage. Saddest part is, come 2008, there are still going to be people on minimum wage and perhaps even earn even less who are going to vote for the Republican Senate candidate on their ballot. I just hope that there are too few to guarantee these bastards re-election. It's all over the internet. Let's play it for you. We have two cuts. We have edited about 2 minutes out of this. A little bit more on that? Okay. But this is where Kennedy gets furious over the way Republicans keep trying to prevent the American people from receiving a modest increase, for Christ's sake, in the minimum wage. And the way the Republicans are doing it is adding amendment on top of amendment to the bill. So that what they're actually doing is filibustering by delay. They're not filibustering it, but it has the same effect. Kennedy asked why Republicans hate the American workers so much. What price do the neocons want in billions to corporations before the worker can get a stinking $2 per hour raise over 2 years? When does the greed end?
For 10 years, Republican leadership has refused to let us get a vote on increasing the minimum wage. Let's have no mistake about it, Mr. President. 10 years, the Republican leadership has basically refused to let us get it. States have raised the minimum wage. But we have still not had this institution, the United States Senate, go on record to say to working families in this country that they ought to get a raise. $240 billion in tax breaks for corporations, $36 billion in tax breaks for small businesses, increase in productivity, 42% over the last 10 years. But do you think there's any increase in the minimum wage? No. 5 days on the floor of the United States Senate. We're considering additional kinds of tax breaks for wealthy corporations. But do we hear from the other side a willingness, as this side is at this moment, at 12 after 5 today on Thursday? I speak for all of our Democrats and say we're prepared to vote now. Now, 10 minutes, 15 minutes on this issue. But no, as we have been for the last 5 days, no, we've got other amendments, Senator. We have now had amendments that have been worth over $200 billion. We've had health savings amendments that will benefit average for income of $112,000, $8 billion. We've had those kinds of amendments. And we're looking at the Kyle Amendment at $3 billion. But we still cannot get a $2.15 over 2 years. Over 2 years. What is the price, we ask the other side? What is the price that you want from these working men and women? What cost? How much more do we have to give to the private sector and the business? How many billion dollars more are you asking? Are you requiring? When does the greed stop?
Jesus, sounds like Mike Malloy. Except he didn't say son of a bitch. Go ahead, Senator. Say it a couple of times. They are sons of bitches. Every filthy, stinking one of them. Kennedy continues asking why the Republicans have piled 74 amendments onto this bill, asking what is it about the American worker that drives these rat bastards crazy, that these Republican filth find so offensive.
They have on the Republican side 70 more amendments. 70 more amendments. We have none. We're prepared to vote now. 70 more amendments. Do you have such disdain for hardworking Americans that you want to pile all your amendments on this? Why don't you just hold your amendments till other pieces of legislation? Why this volume of amendments on just the issue to try and raise the minimum wage? What is it about it that drives you Republicans crazy? What is it? Something. You're going to require us to go in to have a cloture vote next week. I can see it already. Amendments have already been filed that are going to be related in case we do get cloture to delay this even further. What is the price that the workers have to pay to get an increase? What is it about working men and women that you find so offensive that you won't permit even a vote? Denying the Senate of the United States the opportunity to express ourselves. We don't want to hear any more from that side for the rest of this session about permitting and not permitting votes in here when you're denying on the most simple concept, an increase in the minimum wage. We don't want to hear any more about that. This is filibuster by delay and amendments. I've been around here long enough to know it when I see it and smell it. And that's what it looks like. That's what it is. Make no mistake about it.
This this is why I hate Republicans, and I wish all of them would just go straight to hell. I really do. Back when they were in control, these rotten bastards, every time Bush would nominate for a federal bench someplace another right-wing neo-Nazi, or every time he would nominate someone to a cabinet-level position to destroy whatever cabinet-level position he was being nominated to, these filthy, disgusting Republicans would scream and yell and pound their desks like Khrushchev, saying, "We want an up or down vote. We want an up or down vote." We're concerned their ideological neo-Nazism. Here is a bill that over 2 years, would increase the minimum wage by $7.15. And these rat, or $2.15, and these rat bastard Republicans are doing everything they can to delay it. And how many working class Americans are going to stand up and vote for these pigs again?
When you can't really function, you're so full of fear. A word. Working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. Keep you doped with religion and sex and TV.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Minutes before the hour, Brad, who listens to us on the internet in Mainz, Germany, writes, "Dear Mike, it's 3:30 in the morning here, but I got out of bed and signed up to draft Al Gore. Also, although I can hardly afford it with the crash of the dollar against the euro, I am also a founding member of Nova M." Thanks, Brad. And just a couple more names, founding members that we pulled off the system today. Michael G., Scott B., Mario P., Alyssa E., John B., Tom M., and James H. I hate doing that. God, I just like to say the last names, but they're not sent to me. I guess that's the way they do it there. Email from Bruce in New Jersey regarding the woman whose son was killed in the war, and now the young brother, the other son, wants to join up for revenge. Bruce writes, "Hey Mike, why is it when we hear of a young man who hears of his brother's death in the war and wants to join the fight to get revenge, it makes perfect sense to us. It's only natural. Unless it's an Iraqi young man, then he's a savage." Yeah, that's the insanity I think of war. You know, go do a Google or whatever on Mark Twain's War Prayer. I mean, Twain was saying this back at the time of the Spanish-American War, 1898, 1899. We'll get it again sometime. I've read it twice, I think, in the past 6 years, Mark Twain's War Prayer.
Well, the reason is because we're there to liberate those little ungrateful brown people who just, you know, don't realize that millions of them have to die before we can finish liberating them. We haven't finished liberating them yet.
You sound like Elizabeth Cheney. Let's do this because I want to get some phone calls in tonight. Let's do this. This is Chuckle Nuts today, congratulating General Petraeus on his Senate confirmation and discussing the way forward in Iraq. After congratulating Petraeus, the decider decided to answer two questions from the press corps. First, lucky White House press whore says, "Thank you, sir. The other night in your State of the Union address, you asked Congress to give you your plan a chance. But lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans, didn't really miss a step in starting to turn out resolutions against that plan. Why do you think it's okay to go ahead without their support?"
One of the things I found in Congress is that most people recognize that failure would be a disaster for the United States, and in that I'm the decision maker, I had to come up with a way forward that precluded disaster. Or I had to think about what's likely to work, and so I worked with our military and I worked with Secretary Gates to come up with a plan that is likely to succeed.
Well, where is it?
My call to the Congress is that I know there is skepticism and pessimism, and that some are condemning a plan before it's even had a chance to work. And they have a obligation and a serious responsibility, therefore, to put up their own plan as to what would work. And I have picked the plan that I think is most likely to succeed.
Well, that noise in the background is Cheney. That's his pacemaker misfiring over and over. At first, I thought it was tasers. I thought they were shooting tasers at Bush. But it's Cheney. He's sitting just off camera, if you saw any of this today. And nobody's paying any attention because the press corps, Bush, Petraeus, they all want him to die. So they're just sitting there while his pacemaker is misfiring. He says, "I've picked the plan that I think is most likely to succeed." And of course, the answer to that's because he's a delusional moron. Nobody agrees with this plan. These flag rank military officers are trying their damnedest to skate around the issue and pretend like, you know, like I said about Petraeus, why not? He goes from being a lieutenant general to being a full general. He gets his fourth star. Christ, that's as high as you can go unless you're Dwight Eisenhower. Or was Douglas MacArthur a five-star general? I don't know. But they're going along with it because why not? Nobody agrees with this freak other than the equally loony cyborg whose pacemaker was misfiring there, who insists there's been tremendous progress in Iraq, and overall, well, things are going very well, and your question about my daughter is way out of line. You know, all that anti-homosexual stuff that my wife and I come up with, that's only to satisfy the dumbasses out there who send us money and vote for us, you know. So your question is way out of line, Wolf, and when this interview is over, I'm going to kill you. So I just want to let you know. Oh, I won't kill you. I'll have one of my bodyguard here put a bullet right in your Israeli head. Welcome back, 6:30 past the hour. This is Nova M Radio Network. My name is Mike Malloy. Phone number here is 800-989-1480. Thanks to everybody who has joined as a founding member of Nova M Radio Network. We need hundreds and hundreds and hundreds more. So please do it. Go to NovaMRadio.com. I guess I should wait till Monday, Kathy. Is that the website is being worked on extensively? So we're going to give you a two-day break here, but or you can mail in a check. The address is at my website, MikeMalloy.com. But come Monday, we would ask as many people as possible to join the as a founder of Novem Radio Network. A couple of emails, then we're going to go to your phones. This comes from Mercer Island, Washington. Hi, Mike. How is Dennis Kucinich more qualified to be president than Obama? And why does Obama have to wait until 2024? Is there any black man or woman that you would consider qualified to be president? What qualifications did Bush have? All right. First of all, I feel like I'm being baited here. My reaction to a politician is not based on skin color. Obviously, this person, it is. I don't know if this person is Caucasian or black, capital B. I have no idea. But it's a very baited couple of questions, and I don't think I'll go for the bait. Is there any black man that I'd vote for or black woman? Sure, Barbara Lee, Colin Powell, even though Colin Powell participated in a fraud. I think he did so because they held a lynching over his head, a political lynching. Who else? I don't know. I'm sure there are. I'm sorry. I don't look at it that way. Whether you believe that or not is immaterial to me, but I don't. Dennis Kucinich is more qualified than Obama because Dennis Kucinich has served as an executive. He's been the mayor. He was the mayor of the city of Cleveland. He's been in the U.S. House of Representatives for 10 years. He's a political animal. Obama, I guess he served a couple of terms in the Illinois legislature, and he's been a senator for 2 years. He gave a real good speech at the Democratic convention a couple of years ago, and I picked 2024 as just an arbitrary number when he has some maturity. I don't mean maturity in the sense of human being. I don't know if he's mature or immature. I'm talking about political maturity. He doesn't have it now. I would no more vote for Barack Obama than I would vote for, I don't know, somebody else that I consider to be unqualified. And why do you call him a black man when one of his parents is white? Oh, that's right, the one-drop rule. Anyway, thanks, Mike. Mercer Island, Washington, nice attempt to be a smartass, but it didn't work. This is from Ocean Kayak. Evening, Mike. I've been listening to your show tonight, and it brings up so many difficult feelings. My brother encouraged his only son to join the Army. The kid was not a really strong student and was at loose ends after high school. Now he's in Mosul, Iraq, working with helicopters. Sadly, he still is dazzled by the military. He still has no clue why he's there, and he chooses to believe his elders and their lies. I'm worried that his eyes will only be opened after he experiences a death of a friend or his own. How sad, no, how tragic that we sit here in the States knowing what lies he is over there defending, and he is blinded by his belief in his leaders. This should tell us that we need to be careful about who we choose to set up as the leadership of this country. It costs us not just jobs and health care. It also costs us the lives of innocents and the destruction of their adulthood and belief in their country when they return. It's from an aunt who doesn't want to attend another funeral. Malachi in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, writes in about Maher Arar, the man that we ordered to Syria, that we sent to Syria to be tortured for no reason, instead of sending him back home to Canada. Just a man who was selected by these evil sons of bitches that run the United States to be an example. Malachi writes, so Maher Arar today reached a settlement with the Canadian government over its role in his being rendered to Syria. It came to $10 million, his legal expenses, and an apology from the prime minister. And still, the U.S. government insists that he's a terrorist and remains on the U.S. watch list. Yeah, well, Malachi, that's because this country is run by lunatics and madmen. And remember, Bush doesn't make mistakes. Neither does this monster Dick Cheney. J.R. in Southern Indiana says, Mike, I would like to know if the Founders Club will be around for a while or if it will only be available for a short time. I just recently lost my job and barely able to make it right now. I want to join, just can't right now. As it is, I do not know how long I will be able to listen to you since I listen on the Internet, and that is a bill that I may not be able to pay that long. I also heard what I think was a right-winger call into the Peter B. Show and claim that Nova M. does not provide insurance to its employees. Could you please debunk that, as I'm sure that you told us the other night that you did have health insurance? Well, Nova M. doesn't provide insurance. They don't have to. First of all, how many employees do we have? Five? If that. And everybody else, other than Kathy and me, they work a co-op situation for KPHX, right, Kathy? And Nova M. I think that's the way it works. We get our insurance through our union, through AFTRA. Always have, always will. I never, ever, ever, ever rely on radio stations or networks to provide us insurance because it's too iffy. With all due respect to the company I'm working for now, even when we worked for Air America didn't provide. Did they provide anything? I think they did, other than a kick in the ass. All right, Kathy. They did provide, I think, some basic insurance for their salaried employees or their hourly or whatever. Kathy's still a little bitter.
Well, Randy had some things to say about that one day. I'm sure some listeners will remember.
Yeah, okay. Well, I just never pay any attention to it because I belong to one of the two performing unions in the country, SAG and AFTRA, which are merged, in fact. They're not merged. They tried to merge and didn't. That's right. We've had two or three votes on this. It keeps going back and forth and back and forth. But any retirement benefits or health insurance benefits or life insurance benefits that I have are taken care of through AFTRA, have been, always will be. So the caller was probably right, but the caller is right for the wrong reasons. I guess the caller to Peter B. Show is trying to be a snot or something. You don't even have insurance. Peter B. doesn't work for us anyway. Peter B. is independent. He's carried by Nova M Radio. Like I said, I think we have four or five employees. That's about it. Dr. Mike and Billy and Ian and the Drobneys and me and Kathy. Isn't that about it? Huh? Probably a couple more. But again, we have like dual, not Kathy and me, but or their Drobnys, but other people who work at KPHX and for Nova M, it's kind of a dual citizenship thing, okay? Okay. Good evening, Mike. This is from Jack in Philly. In no way am I trying to sound cynical. However, George Bush and his nefarious cohorts haven't yet listened to the millions upon millions of American people who voted for change this past November. Then why in hell will he listen to the hundreds of thousands of truth seekers who will blanket the nation's capital tomorrow? He won't. And so the mendacity will continue until he and his banal band of misfits takes this great country of ours down to its lowest form. George Bush just doesn't care about America. Take care. Jack in Philadelphia. That's true. George Bush is not the target tomorrow for these demonstrations. The target is the Congress. The target are the senator. And by the way, I think there are three representatives who are going to speak, three U.S. representatives who are on the speaker's list. You can find the speaker's list at unitedforpeace.org. But George Bush is not the target. We, the American people and people around the globe, learned before this filthy murder pit was opened up in Iraq that Bush doesn't listen to anybody except the voices in his head and the filth around him that provides the voices in his head that he thinks comes from God. He's not the target tomorrow. We don't the people demonstrating across the country don't give a goddamn whether George Bush is watching a football game or the news on television. It matters not. It just doesn't matter. The target is what it's always been with these kinds of demonstrations. The people who make the laws, the people who control the purse strings, the people who can pass the resolutions, binding and non-binding, that branch of government that can put a stop to this tomorrow if they felt like putting a stop to it tomorrow. So Bush is not the target. We don't give a damn whether he pays attention or not. Jeff Farias works for Nova M. Why are you telling me that? Oh, I left Jeff off the list. All right, I'm sorry, Jeff. Stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker.
He's just such a good liar, isn't he? Huh? Just God. That's what he had to do to survive as a kid, you know, with his beast of a mother. He had to learn how to lie and to lie effectively and immediately and without thinking. And, you know, he learned it pretty well, I would think. Let me see. We're about ready to go to your calls here, I think. Joanne in San Francisco wrote in. She writes, I ordered a Quran and a Hadith because I want to know what they say. I ordered over the internet at Amazon.com. Should I expect a visit from Homeland Security? Probably. Probably. Oh, God. All right. Then this item, there's a bunch of stuff, but we're going to do phone calls instead. Iran, this is from the Reuters news agency. Iran has converted a 30-ton ballistic missile into a satellite launch vehicle that will soon be used to send a reconnaissance satellite into space, a move that is reported could have wide security implications. Aviation Week and Space Technology Magazine is reporting all this on its website yesterday, so you can rest assured it's the truth. The launcher is a version of the Shahab 3 missile that has a range of 800 to 1,000 miles, the magazine said. blah, blah, blah. Some improvements on it have made it, given a range of almost 2,500 miles. The former head of the Israel Missile Defense Organization, Uzi Rubin, said that, quote, ultimately Iran's space program aims to orbit reconnaissance satellites like Israel's OFEC satellite using an Iranian satellite launcher from Iranian territory. And Mr. Rubin added, a reconnaissance satellite of reasonable performance should weigh about 660 pounds. Once Iran learns how to put 660 pounds into orbit, it could adapt the satellite launcher into an ICBM that could drop more than 600 pounds anywhere in the world. Oh, God. So, you know, Iran is just, Iran is doing its Iranian thing. Apparently, Iran is just going to continue to plow ahead, which I would imagine is what the Bush crime family wants to see happen, because then they can say what Hitler said about Poland, that Poland was a definite threat, and with all their horses and buggies against the panzer divisions that Hitler had massed on the border of Poland and Germany, and therefore Hitler had to invade. Let's do some phone calls. Bill is calling from Phoenix. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
Can I just share these sentiments that I wrote with you briefly?
How long is it?
Not less than a minute.
Sure, go ahead.
I cry for a nation that was sold down the stream. Will it ever recover its promise and dream? Can a great city once fallen yet ever raise? And can wanton destruction ever gain praise? These questions and others still hang in the air. Amid all that's trouble and strife and despair, awaiting a moment when these answers revealed, let a once great nation survive and be healed. Just remember, there's two. That's it.
Well, that's good. That's real good. Obviously, you put your heart into that. Thanks for sharing it with us.
It came out on paper.
Yeah?
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Take care. Appreciate your call. Prez is calling from San Francisco. Hey, Prez.
Hi. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. Doing really well. Well, I'm kind of sick, actually, but I just had to call you because you always make me feel good.
Well, that's good.
Really good to talk to you. You know, and you're one of the few people besides Randy that tells it like it is and not afraid.
How's Randy doing? I haven't been able to listen to her lately.
Well, you know what they did here in San Francisco, at least? They put a blowhard on from noon to 3, which I'm not going to mention his name.
Oh, it must be that
He's actually a corporate Democrat apologist is what he is, and a very thin-skinned person for all his protestations to the other.
Ed
the
Schultz. Are his initials Ed Schultz?
How did you guess?
Oh, I don't know. Just a wild guess. But anyway, that's not why you really called.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, I was thinking about Cheney, actually. I called for 3 or 4 reasons, but Cheney reminds me, you know, you're making some comment, I think, about Kennedy and about how he needs some rest or
yeah.
Cheney. But Cheney is like that character in Star Wars. Like Jabba the Hutt, he never's really asleep. The fat blob, the stinking blob is sitting there.
Can you hold on a minute?
Yeah.
All right. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back after the break. Jabba the Hutt. Ah. Oh, you got my boys. All right. Bring it up. Bring it up.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
I'm Well, back to Perez. I'm sorry. Just, Perez in San Francisco, and I start thinking about the dead, and Kathy plays that, and I just want to go someplace and smoke a joint and kick back and feel the sun on my face and listen to music. You know what I'm saying? But those days are long gone, Perez.
I'm afraid so, Mike. You know, I was just going to say, God, I miss those guys.
Oh, good Lord.
And people that haven't been, I have a friend of mine that I play music with a lot, and he has never seen the dead, and he kind of disparages them. And I said, well, I can't really explain it to you. And you didn't have to be stoned, contrary to popular opinion.
No, you didn't.
Didn't
hurt at all.
When
listening to a CD or something, if you see them live, it was just so much fun to be unaltered. But I'll tell you, I spent many a day here in Piedmont Park in Atlanta when the dead would come through. I can remember back in the day when they was 71, 72, they would come by, the Allman Brothers, Grateful Dead, they would do a free concert here at Piedmont Park in Atlanta. And I just wonder, that must have been in a different planet, a different dimension. Things like that just can't, they don't happen anymore. Never mind. That's not.
We've got a, I know, it's enough to make you weep in one part of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I remember I took an unauthorized absence from a little facility I was in when I was still in the Marine Corps, and I went to the Fillmore West for my first time, and it was Quicksilver and the Dead playing.
Oh, God.
And, oh, boy, was that good.
Yeah.
I remember they used to complain because on Thursday and Sunday, Bill Graham would charge $2.50, and on Friday and Saturday, he charged $3, and we bitched, you know.
I know.
It was too funny. I want to continue about Cheney just for a moment. You know, if you deflated somehow in size that giant putrid gas bag that he calls a body, probably little squirmy things and like white spiders would probably come out.
Yeah,
along
really.
With spores, maybe. But I was thinking also, it reminded me of the character in Dune when they did the movie of Kenneth McMillan, I think it was the actor's name. He played Baron Harkonnen, held aloft and nourished by the blood and other precious bodily fluids of young boys, I think. Probably.
Yeah.
But he's really disgusting, including, and also Bush, the mother Bush, the brood mother, the exophthalmic lizard queen.
Oh, God, isn't she?
Oh, she's the evilest of them all. She's really just the worst. People don't understand how evil that woman really is.
I mean, nah, she makes Ma Barker look like a Cub Scout leader. You know.
Well, Ma Barker was good to her kids.
That's true.
You know, she was good to her children. I wanted to say another couple things, Mike, if I could, if we have time here.
Go ahead.
I think that the, and this leads me into the Bushes still. I remember when Bush Sr. was caught, I don't know if it was on tape or not. They caught him on tape talking about Panama, about, Oscar Rodriguez, the CIA guy talking about he would never took notes, of Forrest Gregg, his office guy, never took notes about the Contras, supposedly. But I remember Bush Sr. saying OFUs, which is official fodder units, is how those people refer to troops.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in Vietnam, and one of the guys I was stationed with, his brother was over there, his brother got killed. He got emergency leave to go back to be with his mom, and he happened to be on the same C-141 coffin flight as his brother's coffin. And it's really
Jesus.
Just
Jesus! Oh my God!
And that reminds me about this. Somebody was calling. Was it you? I can't remember. Some lady called, and one of her students. His brother had been killed, and he wanted to go to get revenge in Iraq.
Yeah, that was tonight. I just read that letter tonight.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was thinking they used to have something called Soul Surviving Son. But apparently, I guess if you want to stay in combat, you can waive that ability to get out of the war if you're only if a mother's only other son has been killed.
Yeah, there's no stopping somebody who's of age, though.
No, there isn't.
You know, if they don't need a parent's permission, if they get gung-ho, they're gung-ho.
Yeah. That reminds me about Vietnam. I mean, that's the reason these guys, talking about Randy, you asked about Randy, she's doing well. God, does she lay it out, because she's so well-informed. She really is well-informed. But I remember a young man calling her. He had lost three limbs. He was calling on from the cell phone. He's getting taken out of the hospital. He was back from Iraq. He said, excuse me, I lost both legs and an arm and part of this hand. And then later in the conversation, he's saying, but he wants to go back. And he's saying, well, I'm talking kind of slow because I had some brain damage, true. And I was sitting here listening. I start crying. And he wanted to go back, and you know what those scumbags would say? He wants to go back to help complete the mission. What does he want to go back for is to help his buddies out.
Yeah, he wants to go back with his unit. Hell yes, unit cohesion. What else do they teach in the military?
That's another way to solve the problem of the young men who have ideals. They might change something. They've got to have them kill each other off. That's part of it also. I was thinking about the previous generation, maybe not too long ago, but long enough apparently, where people like my grandparents maybe or other people but talked about these people in power right now as being small men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small.
They really,
just in a psychic sense, in a metaphysical sense, you know.
Yeah.
But one thing about the coffin, is that a presidential order to not view the coffins and take pictures?
I believe it's an order that came from Department of Defense.
I think somebody needs to violate that order, test that law, and get a court case going, because I think it would be incredibly helpful. Somebody needs to break in somewhere and start taking pictures of those coffins and posting them all over the web and the newspapers.
Yeah, other than the photographs from the C-130, I believe it was, that were bringing all these coffins home from Germany, flag-draped coffins, there has not been photographic displays for the American people to try to absorb of our dead, of their dead, of our wounded, of their wounded. And consequently, since what Bush wants, those of us not in uniform, what he wants us to do to support the war effort is to
go
vote,
shopping.
Yeah, go shopping and vote for, help him get more tax reductions for the wealthy. You know, this son of a bitch is so out of touch with reality, but it has transferred. Nobody likes war. And I think the American people, for the most part, up until this last election, did what you do when you see a serious car wreck or parents,
yeah,
parents by the side of the road with their kid just run over. You're shocked and you're horrified, but you turn away from it because you can't handle it. And I think a lot of people in this country have done that where it concerns this war in Iraq. We don't want to know because we can't know.
No.
Every time I bring up half a million dead children in Iraq as a result of sanctions ordered by the UN and supported by President Bill Clinton, I get a flurry of emails from people who get very pissed off at me for pointing out that Bill Clinton let me put it this way, during the 8 years of Bill Clinton, he was responsible, if a president is ultimately responsible, for more death in Iraq than Chucklenuts has been in his 6 years. Now, that's
exactly.
Just a fact. You know, I have nothing to do with those facts. If I report them or talk about them and say, look, it's not just this mindless little brat in the White House now, a very educated, intelligent man like Bill Clinton and a World War II veteran like Bush 1, all of them are responsible for the death and destruction.
Bush 1 bailed out of that plane. He was the pilot. And the other guys were left. I've always found that a little bit strange. Right?
Well,
but that's it. I better watch out. I better look out.
Yeah, take it easy. Thanks for checking in. We'll talk again. I got to leave it there, pal.
Okay,
right?
Mike. Have a good one. Thanks.
All right. Take care. Take care. Yeah, the stuff about Bill Clinton. He's another one. He's like Barack Obama. He's very charismatic. He's very appealing. I love to listen to Clinton when he's talking about certain topics, but Clinton is the one who signed the North American Free Trade Agreement. Clinton is the one who pushed this country to globalization. When people who understood what was going to happen with the job manufacturing base in this country told him and told him and told him, don't do this, don't do it in the form it's in, and he went ahead and did it anyway. You know, he was an expert at so-called triangulation. Taking Republican Party ideas and turning them into Democratic Party ideas, and then playing off the Democrats against the Republicans in the House and the Senate and getting what he wanted. Clinton is the consummate politician. He's very slick. They didn't call him Slick Willie for nothing. But any time I bring that up about Clinton's what he had a hand in doing to global stability. He was just as bad, you know, using NATO to attack people in Central Europe when he ordered, and Wesley Clark was in charge of those troops. I believe it was Wesley Clark, who was the NATO Supreme Commander at the time. You know, I can certainly appreciate people having conversions and people changing their minds and people, especially politicians, somebody like Al Gore. People are emailing me, well, why do you want Al Gore now? You know, he turned tail and ran. You could make that argument 7 years ago that, yes, that's exactly what he did. But so if there's been some sort of conversion, you know, I see Bill Clinton out here trying to help poor people, trying to help people suffering from AIDS. And I think, you know, he had a golden opportunity to do that in his 8 years as president of the United States by relieving some of the horror that was being visited on the people of Iraq. And he never once did.
Never seen that.
And Your Day Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. I know a lot of you are already familiar with this website, but somebody just sent me a link to it. Bob Geiger, Bob, G-E-I-G-E-R, bobgeiger.blogspot.com. Bob Geiger is good writer. Check it out. I just went there and pulled a couple of things that I'm going to use tomorrow for sure. BobGeiger.blogspot.com. And thanks to who sent this to me? I don't even know who sent it to me. Sunny Time. Thanks, Sunny Time. Only when you sent it four times. All right, back to your phone calls. James is calling from Alaska. James, welcome to the program.
Mike.
James.
Great to hear you. You never believe what I'm doing.
I'm afraid to ask.
I am burning cell phone minutes listening to you on hold because I'm in Alaska. I'm homeless in Alaska in a place where I have no computer to stream you and no radio station that carries you. We're too far north for Sirius or XM.
You're homeless?
I'm homeless in Alaska, and I listen to you on a cell phone.
Good God in heaven! How did you wind up homeless in Alaska, if I might ask?
Well, I got injured at work and fell through the crack in the system to where I never got. I ended up losing all the disability and ended up out on the street before anything could be resolved. Then nothing was ever resolved, and from the street, it's hard to get back off. So this is been like a year.
It's only been like a year. What do you don't have family?
No.
There are no
they're
social...
They're all down in the lower 48.
There are no social service agencies in Alaska to help you? What city are you in? What town are you near?
I'm not far from Palmer and Wasilla, but...
They don't sound like huge, throbbing metropolises, do they?
No. The bigger of the two is about 20,000.
So where are you calling me from? You're in a shelter or what?
No, I'm actually at somebody's house right now, but I'm not, you know, not where I stay all the time. They don't have extra rooms or anything. I can't just move in here.
Are you young? Are you in decent health? I mean,
I'm 40 and in moderate health.
Well, what's your plan?
I spend my time trying to inform the public about the shenanigans that's going on.
Yeah.
I try to find work, but it's really hard to get from my position back out. And mm-hmm. and in the interim, I go to city council meetings and I show up, you know, when they want to build a prison in our, you know, outside of town. I'm like, hey, why do you want to put it here? And I'm really concerned about the Pebble Mine. I don't know if you know much about that down in Lower 48, but foreign investors are wanting to just totally destroy part of our state and ruin a lot of our fisheries just so they can extract minerals with no providing no Alaskan jobs and giving nothing to our economy.
I think,
rip up our,
I think I have heard about part of that, and of course the Republicans here in the contiguous states or the lower 48, they're selling off turnpikes and toll roads and bridges and dams to foreign foreign interests. It's incredible what's going on with this country. It's just
and people in the lower 48 really think that Anwar is a lot about oil, but up here we know that it's just as much about hurting natives from where they have rights.
Mm-hmm.
Hurting natives. They've been hurting natives for a long time. And opening up Anwar is as much about getting rid of natives as it is about getting the oil.
Well, what are you what are you going to do, James?
Well, I didn't call you to help you get out of my situation. But
no, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do about being homeless in Alaska? Is there? I mean, you know that's what
I'm pretty much nothing till springtime because there's no more jobs to open up. I've tried to get everything that is available in the winter.
What's available in the spring in Alaska? Construction,
fishing jobs. Oh, there's lots of slave labor jobs. Getting on a fishing boat, stuff like that.
And
there are lots of fishing jobs. All the good jobs are most of the high paying jobs are unethical jobs. We have a lot of research development up here, which is kind of an unethical field. You know, I'll be homeless before I'll rape the mother for a few coins.
Well, you mean the earth.
Regardless, the one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to thank you for actually referring to the Bush family as a crime family.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. Nobody talks enough about Marvin and Neil, two
right.
really, really deep scumbags that stay out of the public eye.
Mm-hmm.
And while I had your listeners on my phone, I wanted to ask them to keep their, if they want to see where the next shit's going to happen.
Where the next what?
Where the next stuff is going to happen, where the next poop is going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
See, look where Marvin and Neil are, because they're always there, where right before the poop hits the fan,
yeah.
Marvin or Neil are there. So if we want to see what's going down next, look where they're at now.
Well, that's true with all four of the Bush boys. I guess Jeb is the least obvious criminal. I think you're right, James. Where did James go? Did we lose him? All right. Well, James, if he can't hear me. Okay. Well. We have to take a break here. All right, let's do a break. I'd like to say, well, James, call us back sometime, but hell, he can't hear us. All right. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. Final hour coming up, and we have miles to go before we sleep here. A lot of phone calls, a lot of people on hold. So, Jesus, I have a right winger here. Oh, my God, he wants to tell me Democrats don't have a plan. Well, I'm not going to put him on the air. George in San Francisco is not going to make it on the air because I'm not going to sit here and talk with some halfwit that is going to say Democrats don't have a plan. Ian, if you want to tell him if he has a different topic, I'll talk to him, but not about that. That's ridiculous. Of course we have plans. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Kathy is just very pissed off about the Air America newscast that we hear over the Internet here. the story about Ari Fleischer. Of course, you know, it's all over the place. I guess you were busy today. You didn't know this, that he's being subpoenaed to testify by the defense. I think the defense. But Fleischer struck a deal with the special prosecutor, Ari Fleischer. And Ari Fleischer happens to be one of those people that Kathy just loathed. What were you telling me during the break about Fleischer?
Well, it turns out he's one of the leakers, and I can just remember, I mean, I still have the sound bites in my archives. I can dig them up at some point, him saying over and over to reporters right before he left to spend more time with his new wife. He had every confidence that Karl Rove wasn't the leaker. No, he'd spoken with, and Rove, he got personal assurances from Rove. No, no one knew who the leakers were. Oh, God, no. And it was him!
Well, Kathy, you're not wanting us to believe that you were taken in by those lies.
No, I'm wanting everyone, I mean, I just don't understand why, you know, Bush is standing up there saying, well, yeah, we want to know who leaked. Oh, we have no freaking idea here.
Honey,
who leaked.
It's a crime family. It's a crime.
Yeah, but I mean, what it's bothering me is that no one else in the media is coming out now and saying, well, gee, excuse me, sir, but you didn't realize it was your own press secretary that was leaking information?
My grandfather, may he rest in peace, used to tell me that back in the old country they had a code. It was omerta. And it essentially meant you kept your mouth shut. And he learned it from his father. My grandfather left Italy when he was 13, 14, but even at that young age, omerta was what you practiced. You didn't let the patron hear what you were saying or what your family was about. You kept things quiet. And then it became the sort of the code or the coda for the mafia in this country, omerta. You didn't talk outside the family. Well, that's what Bush is doing. That's all. That's all any of these people have ever done is practice omerta. They... Whatever. Our Arkansas bureau chief, Joyce, who doesn't write to us too often, but she has just sent this in. Hi, Mike. It's frustrating to hear comments like the email you read tonight about Al Gore not doing enough in letting Bush take office. I ask, what could the man have done? 5 black-robed thugs from the highest court in the land, actually the court of last resort, had ruled the most unprecedented illegal ruling in our nation's history. Who was Al Gore to appeal to? Should he have taken a club and ran up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, venting the anger he must have felt? There was nothing he could do, and I think he decided to make his concession speech, feeling that it would be best for our country. Where were we, the complacent majority who voted for him? We were bitching and doing nothing. In hindsight, seeing what the Bush administration has destroyed in 6 years, I'm sure we all would have reacted differently and would not have allowed this ongoing nightmare to have happened. As for Kerry, he certainly could have filed protests from the Ohio vote, but decided to do nothing with the millions left in his campaign chest. Yeah, I've kind of flip-flopped, I guess, on Gore a couple of times, but I do believe I'm going to have to give this a lot more thought, but I do believe I'm kind of ready for Al Gore at this point. And this is from Carla about last night's show. She says... I missed the beginning of the, quote, conversation, close quote, you had with the budding Rush head, a young guy, that was that Mark guy, that apparently started out by yelling at you. Is there any way of my calling up that show on the Internet? I looked at your archives, but they end before January. How does she get that show? How does anybody get those? You have to be a
founding member of Novam Radio. You need to subscribe to the podcast or downloads.
Okay, that's how you do that. Okay, that's how you do it now. Those all used to be free, and they're not any longer because of the cost involved and the fact that the Novam has set up this founders club or organization. All that will be available. Any program is available, Carla, free if you hear it over the air, radio, or internet. But any rebroadcasts or podcasts, you have to subscribe. You have to pay $100 a year or $9.99 a month. So sign up. Anyway, she goes on, one of my pet peeves is people who are ignorant and proud of it. Your reaction to that guy was so cathartic for me. Every night your show helps me get my anger out. My little girl turned 17 and the California National Guard is calling her. Now it's so real to me, although I have been an anti-war activist and organizer for 30 years. I called all my representatives and asked if they were going to the Stop the War rally that Maxine Waters invited them to, and the voters mandated in November, they cop out with the she or he isn't sure, but she or he will try. What, they have a christening to attend? My kid can go die, and they can't make it to a two-hour rally? Carla, who's obviously on the West Coast, apparently in, San Francisco, I would guess. There's going to be rallies across the country. And if you have any questions left about this, unitedforpeace.org, unitedforpeace.org. A lot of people will be participating in cities other than Washington, D.C., which is what Kathy and I and Molly will be doing. Washington, D.C. will be the big one. But depending on where you live, it could be just as big. But there has to be an outpouring of as many people as we can get into the streets tomorrow. It has to happen. It has to happen. Not that tomorrow is the only one. I sincerely hope that the people who organize these sorts of rallies, and there are groups that do that. You and I doubt could do it, but United for Peace and Justice can. There are several organizations that are very good at organizing these massive demonstrations. I hope it continues. I hope it continues. I hope it doesn't stop. I hope we don't do what we did in the Vietnam era. You know, we sent troops. We started a massive buildup in 1965. The first massive anti-war demonstrations in this country weren't until 1969. And by that point, I think roughly 35,000 Americans had died. Not to mention over a million Vietnamese. So I think it's very clear that the regime that runs this country now, these filthy, filthy warmongering Republicans, are simply not going to stop. They will pay attention to nothing. They have to be removed from office. And I think one of the primary function of these demonstrations is to let the lawmakers in Washington know. Again, these demonstrations are not to get the attention of Dick Cheney and George Bush. They couldn't care less. They are so beyond that, it doesn't matter. I mean, we could surround the White House with 1,000 people, and at a given signal, everybody set themselves on fire and burn up like the Buddhist monks did in Saigon years ago, and it still wouldn't impress these people. They would come out and ask for a piece of the meat when the fire went out. They're horrifying, horrible human beings. They're not the target. The target, as far as I'm concerned, are the lawmakers, the House and the Senate, to let members of the Senate and the House who need to be, they need to be let known, that they need to be told that that the American people do not support this monster or his toy president any longer. We've had enough of Cheney and Bush. We've had it. The election said that. The election would have been even more of a dramatic denial of this pig in the White House, except for the fact that millions of votes once again were stolen. It's just like Greg Palast said, if they're going to steal it, make them steal it big. They couldn't steal it big enough. So, you know, we managed to get a Democratic majority. But it's to the Democrats, the liberal Democrats, the moderate Democrats, the conservative Democrats, and a few Republicans who might still own at least a slice of their own consciousness or their own souls who serve in the House and the Senate. Those are the people that need to see millions of Americans in the streets over the next 6 months. And maybe that will convince them that they are not, they won't, it doesn't make any difference what the pigs on Fox News call them, or Sean Hannity, or these little traitors that hate America, these little collaborators like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity. It doesn't make any difference then if these pigs refer to the Democrats who vote to cut off the money as being aiding and abetting the enemy, because the Democrats will know that the American people are behind them. You understand how that works.
Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building the cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice?
21 past the hour. Ron in Briarwood, New York, sent this to me. Keith Olbermann's birthday is the 27th. Isn't that tomorrow? And Randy Rhoads' birthday is the 28th. When is that, Sunday? Yeah, the 27th. What the hell am I talking? Of course, tomorrow's the 27th. So happy birthday to Keith Olbermann and our good friend and former colleague. I was trying to think of a word. Randy Rhoads, whose birthday is. Send Randy an email, a happy birthday email. Oh, Keith Olbermann, too, but I would imagine Randy is easier to get in touch with. Happy birthday, Randy. You know, it's kind of awkward saying happy birthday, Keith. He doesn't know us from Adam's House Cat, but we know Randy real well. Happy birthday, guys. Billy sent this to me from the home office. More founders, Bradley H., Deborah R.P., Jeremy S., Colleen H., Cynthia H., Mary M-A-R-Y-E, Mary B., and Joanne M. Thanks to everybody who is signing up as a Nova M Radio Network founder. We appreciate it. And you will get a wide array of goodies coming back, too. The podcasting, the downloads, special events. I don't know what all they've got planned because I'm an employee of Nova M. And we're here in Atlanta, and all the action happens in Phoenix. That's the way it was at Air America. We were here in Atlanta, and all the action was... Of course, I didn't want to be around the action of Air America in New York. Oh, my God. But we do appreciate the folks that are joining up and signing up to be a founding member of Nova M Radio. This network is for real. I can tell you right now, it is not going to go the way of Air America. I hope that some of the people on Air America survive. I really do, Randy. Sam Cedar. Well, Tom Hartman, but he's not on Air America. I'm talking about the Air America people. Rachel. Mark Riley. There really are good people working at Air America, and they're also experienced. I hope they land on their feet. But this is not Air America. This is Nova M. We do not have a board of directors or investors who are absolute fruitcakes who think that it's cool. Hey, man, it's cool to run it. I own a radio network, man. Yeah, well, what are you doing to make sure it survives? Hey, I own a radio network, man. You know, we don't have that at Nova M, so that's boring stuff. I'm sorry. Back to your phone calls. Brian is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. God, I wish we could get Madison, Wisconsin back, Brian.
Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I wish we could get back on the radio station that used to carry my program.
Yeah, I know. Actually, I'm listening to you on Sirius, but yeah, I do listen to 92.1 when I'm in town.
Yeah.
But anyway, I really appreciate you taking the time, and I really like your show. The reason why
Thank
I
you.
Called is...
I appreciate that.
Yeah, the reason why I called this is that I wanted to talk about the Republicans being masters of deception and lies. And one of their big things that I think is happening right now is that there's an absolute distraction from the impeachable offenses which are going to come up in the Cheney trial, and by Bush and Cheney pushing the surge here, I believe what they're trying to do is to take the attention of Congress away from the impeachable offenses which are going to be coming up inside of the trial, the Scooter Libby trial.
Another wag the dog event, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, similar to what happened, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, you talked about Gore, you know, in the election. And I think it was Newsweek came out with, on September the 10th, the day before the 9/11 event, on that particular day, they came out with the findings of the group of journalists about the election, that Gore actually won it.
Right.
Now, what better way to stand back and say to the world, we want to shift the attention away from that and not have everybody come back at us saying, well, you're bastards and you're somebody that doesn't belong to have the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
So take their attention away from them and have them, you know, go into this blind neglect, as I like to call it, letting these people go ahead and, you know, do the event. But
hey, hold on a second, Brian. I've got to take a break. I'll come back and we'll finish up on the other side of the break. This is NOVEM Radio. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
For a liberal helping of truth, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Don't want no secret agent. Don't need no long 26 before the hour. Back to Brian in Madison, Wisconsin. All right, where were we, Brian? The troop surge is a con job.
Yeah, I think so. We were talking about flying neglect there a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Bush administration knew that, you know, they were going to come out with the information on the election and the truth about it. And at the same time, they had these reports that came in about the terrorists. And I think they turned a blind eye to what was going to happen. And it would be an automatic cover to take everybody's mind off of what was going on with respect to the election results.
Mm-hmm.
Ergo, move forward to now. Scooter Libby, you know, was indicted over the, last spring or summer.
Right.
And they felt pretty much that they were secure because they had a Republican Congress. And then when they lost, they had to move to a Plan B. And the Plan B is, what do we do to distract everybody away from the fact that all of this impeachable offenses are going to start to come out?
You think they can get away with that kind of a trickery? Again, you know what George said, fool me once. Oh, never mind. But you think?
No,
they...
honestly, I think they do. I think what they're trying to do is take everybody's eye off the ball.
Yeah.
And everybody's so incensed about the surge that you don't pay that much attention to, and the media really hasn't put that much attention into the Scooter Libby thing as far as, you know, as proportionate to what's going on with the
Well,
war.
Let me just comment about what you just said. The media will go to that trial like a duck on a June bug as soon as it gets interesting. And that's because media in this country is nothing but streetwalkers. They're real whores. Nothing against sex workers, but these are real streetwalkers. And if they don't care whose goose is being cooked. If they smell a fire being built to cook a goose, they'll be there. So the media are not, and by media I think primarily you're referring to television because that's where most Americans get most of their news. But television is not going to sit back. If the slime and the slop starts to be revealed in this trial of Louis Libby, they're not going to sit back and let that pass. They're going to rub their hands together gleefully and rush in the same way they rushed in when it became apparent that Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky had a semi affair. So I hear what you're saying, but I don't think media will let revelations of double dealing and backstabbing and lies and perjury and deceit and trickery and revealing Valerie Plame's a name and ID and occupation. I don't think they're going to let that go by, especially if these pigs start falling all over themselves to throw each other into the fire, which apparently is already beginning to happen.
Yep.
And all
that's,
right.
That's where I was coming from.
Okay.
I just wanted to throw that out there.
All
anyway,
right.
Well, I like the show, and thank you for the time.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Take care. Cliff is calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Cliff. Cliff?
Hi. There might be a few bucks in it for you.
Cliff? Cliff? All right, put him on hold. I guess he didn't realize that he was on a national radio show. I wonder what the hell he's talking about. Let's go to Karen. Karen, who's calling from Ventura, California. Hey, Karen.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
It is Karen from Ventura. I want to say, first of all, for the parents of the kids who are in Iraq, your children are my children. We are an American family. We are all Americans. Your children are mine. I do have a son who is 22 and one who is 15.
Mm-hmm.
I have raised them to not ever. I'm 51 years old. Mm-hmm. I have seen what Vietnam did to friends and what's happening still to these people who went to Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And I have raised them so they're not going there. My heart breaks for the people who have children there. And yes, I am going to be at the march in LA tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I am from Ventura. We have things that go on once in a while. I've participated in peace vigils. It's a little scary to go to Los Angeles from Ventura, I have to admit. But we're going. We've got a group of people. There are 35 different groups of people from Ventura County who are going to participate. I think it's going to be huge.
I hope so.
And what I want to say to you is thank you for making us understand that this is not for Bush's attention or Cheney's attention.
Right.
It is for the House and the Senate to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to get out there. If we can't do anything else, we've voted. We've done what we can there, but people do need to get out and make their voices heard. And it's not so hard to get in a car and drive to L.A. Just do it. I'm just telling everybody, just do it.
Right. I hear you. All right. Thanks, Karen.
And I did join the Founders Club.
Well,
thank you.
On
K-Quake, and I really appreciate your show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. Take care. Take care.
You too.
You know, she makes just kind of reinforces the point I was trying to make that Bush and Cheney couldn't care less. I mean, they don't give a damn. Death and destruction is what they like. They love it because they see money in death and destruction. The death doesn't bother them. Never has, never will, because theirs are protected. Theirs will never go into a combat zone. But even the bravest member of Congress, Dennis Kucinich, Barbara Lee, Russ Feingold, even the bravest member of Congress understands what he or she is up against. A lot of us are very quick to judge these senators and representatives because they don't commit ritual suicide or symbolic ritual suicide by taking on the executive branch or taking on the judicial branch or taking on their own leadership. And we're very quick to judge them. And in a sense, that's a good thing because it means we don't want our elected reps and senators to play games with our heads. We just don't want it. You know, you are from the people. Mrs. Senator or Mr. Representative, you're from the people, and by Christ, you better act like it, or we'll turn you out. Now, a lot of these politicians, when they get into office, it's almost a lifetime position. Democrats as well as Republicans have felt that way, and I think the American public is, to some degree, at least those of us who vote, who vote sensibly, which means Democrats. Have sent some very clear messages. I don't think Republicans switched over and voted for Democrats in this last election. I don't think that's what happened at all. I think that just finally Democrats got off their asses and went out and voted. Republicans are dead. A lot of Republicans may have stayed home, but Democrats, the Christian cowards, they all stayed home. The rapture freaks, you know, the Dominionists. Once their boy Haggard and Representative Foley and everybody got caught with their penises where they shouldn't have been, they all, let me go home and pray. Where's the rapture? You know, rather than just saying, oh, okay, well, whatever. But a lot of Democrats went to the polls, and I think that the Democratic senators and representatives need to see this huge outpouring of protest so that they know, like I said earlier, that when they, as a group, take on this filthy, criminal executive branch, that the American people are behind them. Because it's already started. I mean, you can hear Gates. You can hear the politicians. The generals haven't said it yet, but you can hear Gates. You can hear Cheney. You can hear this pig, filthy Rush Limbaugh. You can hear this little puppet, Sean Hannity. All of them saying the same thing now. You know, if Americans, it's the same thing that's been said since Ashcroft went in front of the Congress and said, if you question what we're doing, you're unpatriotic and you're aiding the terrorists. You know, I could have just bitch-slapped him clear across the room. Couldn't say it then because he was an executive branch of the U.S. government. But what a foul little bastard he was, right? To say that to Americans, to say that if you challenge what we're doing, our criminality, our lies and deceit, you're aiding terrorists. Oh, Jesus, God, I thought I was going to lose it back then. It still makes me furious. But enough decent Americans went to the polls and put some decent people in office. I hope. I hope they turn out to be decent. Now we've got to let them know. We've got to let them know. No, your job, we didn't send you there for the rest of your lives. We can turn you out as easily as we put you in. We don't want this stinking war. We want our men and women to come home. We want peace in the Middle East. We're smart enough to know you don't do it like this. We want these issues settled, and we want these criminal sons of bitches out of the White House. Now, we need to let our senators and representatives know that they can lead us, because we're right there. You see, you have to start the parade before the politicians will jump up in the front and say, let's go, it's a parade. You understand what I'm saying? That's why what happens tomorrow and next month and the month after is critically important. We don't give a damn what Bush and Cheney think about it. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, who engineered the program out of Phoenix, answered your phone calls, Mark Marshall, our webmaster at MikeMalloy.com, and the moderators on our website at the message board, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Our executive producer is Catherine Bay. For those of you who have been following Molly Malloy, her new pictures are now up in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com. And do go to NovamRadio.com and sign up for the downloads and podcasts, okay? We need you. Cliff is back. All right, Cliff, welcome to the program. What happened? Did we lose him?
Hello?
Yeah,
Cliff. No, I'm here. Mike.
Oh, there you are. You're on
Mike,
the...
sorry about last time. Listen, Mike, I love you. Bush Prime family, you're amazing. You absolutely are amazing. You're right on. You know, Mike, we could sit here and talk about, you know, the atrocities and the illegal activities and all this. And what you brought to light the other night, I was listening. I waited online for a couple hours about, you know, the the Cheney interview and all that. You are livid, man. And you know, you're right on. You are right on, man. Now, the thing is, what do you think, Dr., getting right down to it, the best thing, the absolute best thing that this country could do for itself right now is to impeach Bush and Cheney. Why? Why? Because it will show the rest of the world that, number one, our system of government works, okay?
Yeah.
Because Bush said today, what did he say today when he said he appealed to Congress not to cut his funding? What did he say? He said he's the what?
He's the decision maker.
Yeah, he said, I'm the decider. You know what? I don't know what country he thinks he's governing, but in America, it's a government for the people, by the people. We are the deciders, okay?
Yes.
We are the deciders. And the best thing we could do to show the world that we are not bad people is to get rid of these two jerks, okay?
Yes.
And then everybody's going to say, what's going to happen then? Well, then... then what's going to happen is Speaker of the House Pelosi becomes the first woman president and usurps Hillary, okay? Boo-hoo. Sorry, Hillary, but that's the way it goes. Speaker of the House gets somebody in there. She can take her pick of all the front runners to be her vice president.
Yeah.
And then what does she do? Then a decree by the people. We the people say, you pull our troops back to a position. You declare a ceasefire. You say, do not fire on us. Go ahead and kill each other all you want, but do not fire on us. And then we start pulling them out. And then you bring the people to the table and you say, look, it's a new America. We're turning over a new leaf world. We got rid of the hate mongers and the war makers.
I hope we still have the time or the inclination or the ability to do that. I really do. I hope that's the case.
And listen, Mike, one last thing.
Yeah.
I implore you, every other word out of your mouth, say impeach, okay? Build awareness. Build momentum for impeachment.
You because impeach peace, one, impeach every, impeach other, impeach word, impeach out, impeach of,
it.
Impeach my,
that's
impeach
it.
Mind. Oh.
Because peace rallies don't work. We know that. History has taught us that. But an impeachment rally, that's going to make them scared.
Yeah, that's true. I hear what you're saying. All right, Cliff, thanks. I appreciate you checking in, Bill.
And thank you, my brother.
All right, take care. Take care. We got time for another call? I think we do. John is calling from San Francisco. Hey, John.
Yeah, Mike, I think this what you said about the Democrats have to be the targets, and I use that word advisedly of this demonstration tomorrow. Because they can't play cowards anymore. They're standing naked for a long time now. For a couple of years, the American people have opposed this war in increasing numbers to the present. They can't have their excuse makers and alibi makers say, well, they're just afraid. No, they are part of the same military-industrial establishment, and they are saying nothing about the well-known testimony of people like Scott Ritter, Wayne Wright of the State Department, Seymour Hersh in various magazines, that this criminal government is planning to plunge us into an even more catastrophic war attack against Iran, another preemptive, unprovoked attack. With all of these provocations, with the huge battle groups, nuclear attack groups in their Persian Gulf, as if it's the U.S. Gulf instead of the Iranian-Persian Gulf. And it's showing exactly that they actually are supporting this escalation of a catastrophe. I was reading on WSWS.org how even the new House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer gave an interview to the Israeli Jerusalem Post, in which he called for stepped up pressure and economic sanctions against Iran while not ruling out any military action. They are actually on their side.
Steny Hoyer is one of those members of the House that is absolutely owned outright by the Israel lobby. There's just no point in mincing words about it. He is. John? Where did John go?
Well, I think we've got to realize that he's not the only one.
Oh no, no. I know there are other members of Congress.
Well, you look at Clinton, Hillary Clinton. She's getting money from Rupert Murdoch, this is ultra-right owner and bank paymaster of Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. She's also getting money from that same ultra-right fascist owner of Fox Channel. She's the biggest recipient of money from the Israeli lobby, other military industrial corporations. She's the co-chair of the Democratic Party. Pelosi and others have ruled out cutting off the funds for this war. I think the Trojan horse of the collaborator and the enabler is even more dangerous if we don't recognize it, because they put us to sleep and neutralize us.
I hear you. John, we got to leave there. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Hope you have a good weekend. Hey, be safe at the protest tomorrow, Truth Seekers, wherever you're going to exercise your First Amendment rights. And if you can't be there in person, I know you'll be there in spirit. And you can still take action. Call or write your senator or member of Congress and demand that he or she stand up to Bush's insane policy to create all this death. And talk about it with your friends and your neighbors and co-workers and people in the grocery line. I'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend. I'm Mike Malloy. This is NOVAM Radio. Keep it lit. Oh, and have a great weekend. Kevin Kenney, wherever you are.